Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment, episode 110, and gosh, it's been a little over a month, I guess, since I've done a podcast, since my last confession to you people. And should I apologize? I don't know. It's like I said, I don't think there's a big demand for this right now. I do have some listeners, and I apologize. I'm apologizing to people if I let you down. Okay, I'm apologizing. But nobody's really expressed that except one person who I just happened to call for some reason. But it's okay. Eventually, I will get it together. I'll get back on a weekly or bi-weekly or bi-monthly or some kind of track like that. And I'm going to get my website. I'm just trying to figure out what I want to do with my website. And I want to get a newsletter out. You know, I got to get more disciplined. And the big news is that in the last 3 weeks, I've gone back to stand-up comedy. So that's been taken care of. You see, this podcast kind of was helping me mine for material, especially during when my hips were all messed up. And now my hips have been okay and pretty good, right? And because I had two surgeries to fix them. And here's the deal. I was mining for material. I have 109 episodes. Well, this is 110. That I've got to go through all these episodes to find out if there's anything worthwhile that I can use in my stand-up. And I'm pretty sure that there's a minute here, a couple seconds there, whatever, things I've done that I could transfer to stand-up. And that's going to take some work. And so I'm back doing stand-up, and I've been playing open mics. Because that's where you go when you need to get your sea legs back, as we call it in the stand-up business. So I've been going out, and it's very interesting hanging out with these younger people that are starting out in comedy. A lot of alleged shock. I like the way some of these young people think they're shocking when they talk about masturbation. Oh, my God. You're so on the edge. Oh, my God, I don't know if I can take it. Oh, my God, you're amazing. But here's the deal. Here's my big challenge doing my stand-up, is not to be judgmental. I mean, I'm going to be somewhat judgmental because I am a comedian, and that's part of my job. But not to be so judgmental that I cut people off and don't give them a chance, because I've seen people who are horrible comedians become amazing comedians. Okay? Some of them became famous, and some of them, whatever. But, so that's that. So I've been doing it, and I've been reaching out to some old, one comedy pal, sort of kind of a name in the business. I mean, someone who's known in the industry, has done, you know, all the big TV shows, and we used to be managed by the same manager. I reached out to her, and that was nice. We're connecting. And so I'm very excited about doing it, and I want to kind of move up the food chain kind of rapidly so I don't have to play these open mics as much, if at all. And so I have no plans to travel just yet, because I'm just getting it together here. But at some point, I'm going to travel, folks, worldwide, World Wide Web, get off the web, get into the world. That is, if we don't get friggin' blow ourselves up. I mean, Russia is flying nuclear bombers, you know, towards our coast. I mean, come on. Will we have thermonuclear war in my lifetime? Kind of makes sense. I grew up under the threat of it. Why not just go out with a bang? Go out with a bang. I hope not. I really hope not. But I'm hoping that enough people have awakened and are into their spiritual powers and will be able to nullify any horror that could possibly happen. You know, you hear about these UFOs that go around nuclear sites, and they shut down the nuclear missiles. I've heard about it, and I don't know if this is true. This is what I've heard, you know, in the UFO community. And you know, you can laugh all you want. I know, you know, when I was growing up, UFOs, I've always been interested in UFOs, and people tended to think of them as wack. People who believed in them or saw them as wackos, whack jobs. But the point is, it's very reputable people who have some reputable information, and there's just too much stuff out there. Obviously, not everything is true, and we don't even know if it's just interplanetary, interdimensional, I don't know. We don't know what it is. We don't know. We don't know what it is, but it's something, okay? And the point is, there's stories about UFOs being seen around nuclear sites where the nuclear missiles are and shutting them down. So I'm assuming those are the good guys, and there's supposedly good and bad races of the UFO people, or whatever you want to call them, UFO aliens. These are really illegal aliens. Who would tell you? It's crazy. So that's that. I don't know how I got off on that. I really don't know how that happened. You know, just a stream of consciousness. A lot of this is stream O consciousness. So yeah, I'll keep you posted with my stand-up. Very excited about getting back into it. I really haven't even minded hanging out for hours at these open mics. I mean, I feel like sometimes my head is in a vice after being around some of these newbies for a couple hours. But, you know, I think I'm schooling them a little bit. I don't want to be, you know, get on my high horse here. But, you know, I think I'm showing them, hey, here's a man with some skills. And I'm mostly riffing at this point because I've got some old material, which I'm doing sometimes, but I want to get rid of it, most of it. And my new stuff, the newer stuff, I haven't really committed to yet. I haven't had the confidence to commit to yet. And I don't want my work cut out for me because I really need to sit with my material. And I've got tons of material. I've been writing for years. Years and years and years. So that's the challenge in stand-up for me is to sit down and get in because that's drudgery. That's the drudgery part. But Jerry Seinfeld said at one point, and I quote him, that when he was a young comic and he saw this, he had an epiphany because he saw some construction workers going back after lunch, going back to work. And he said, those guys obviously look like they don't want to go back to work, but they're going. So I should, him, meaning him, should go and start working on his writing. And, you know, we all know what happened to him. So my dilemma is that I have the facility to riff, improvise, and off the cuff, be off the cuff and do, you know, entire shows that way at times and be pretty amazing. I'm doing it lately, but not firing yet on all cylinders. But the dilemma is sometimes I'm not on firing on all cylinders in that arena, so I should have material. So, you got to have material. Anyway, so here I am. This is my, you know, again, my apologies. If you've been looking for my podcast and you haven't seen it, it's just I've been busy and I guess I've been kind of lazy and in this arena, but I want to keep this up. I want to maintain this. And I want to, anyway, I've said enough about that. Here's what's going on. GarageBand is which I record this podcast, the one you're listening to, on GarageBand, which is an Apple product on my MacBook. And they keep offering a newer version of GarageBand, and thank God I have not upgraded. Because my buddy of mine, I think it was Bill, he told me that the new version of GarageBand does not give you the option to do podcasts. Why does Apple do this? They take away, they get you into, and I wouldn't even know, then if they took away my GarageBand, don't take away my GarageBand, if they took away my GarageBand, I wouldn't know what to do. I guess what I could do is I could put it up on a, I'd figure it out. I'd find a way, but it would be a pain, and they don't give you any warning. So I'm not. Forget it. Okay, I'll update all your software for everything else, like my regular software. But I'm not. Don't take away my podcast, you crazy people. Don't take away my podcast, my ability to podcast, my option. Jeez, Bezos, why would they do that? Why would they do that? What would be so important that they would take it away? They're putting some more drum beats in? I don't really get what their trip is, okay? I don't get what their freaking trip is. So keep your hands off my podcast. All right. Again, I want to apologize. No, I'm just kidding. See, I can keep apologizing. I got a friend that apologizes. I used to have an old friend that used to apologize all the time for stuff. He had a pretty bad temper at times, but then sometimes he would just apologize, like, just because I guess he messed up so much, he would just apologize even when he didn't need to apologize. And then he'd end up apologizing for apologizing. So, and then I had another friend that just recently thought I was mad at him. He was kind of reminds me of this other guy, where this sort of, he's so hypersensitive, this guy, that he thought I was mad at him, and the reason he thought I was mad at him made absolutely no sense to me. There was no, we had no words. There was nothing to indicate that I was mad at him, and yet he interpreted. Oh, I know. I asked him for advice about how to get where did he go to get his website done, or I asked if he knew anybody, and he told me, "Hey, check out this guy, his friend of mine who did mine." And I hadn't gotten in touch with this person yet, and he thought, for some reason, because I hadn't gotten in touch with the person, I was mad at him. It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's just the abuse. Whatever happens to these people in their lives as children, my heart goes out to them, because it's just like, I said to him, "Don't worry. If I'm angry with you, you will know it. There will be no question in your mind about that I am angry with you, you know, if that's the case." So it's exhausting, though, when people, you know, keep having to explain. What do we, like, you call, like, because I called them up one day to tell them something, you know, and he was just like, "Oh, I thought you were mad at me." You know, and it was just like, that kind of stuff is exhausting, folks. I will get mad at you if you keep doing that. Okay? All right. So I had to go out to the big man shop. I'm still, you know, I'm losing weight. My shirt, oh, by the way, food's great. Food is great, baby. Doing fantastic. I've had hardly any crap in the last five, 6 weeks. Anyway, just eating really clean, good food. Very well. Thank you. Thank you very much. And realize, you know, that I've got to eat this way. I've got to eat well if I want to be well. And I'm trying to not be as obsessed with food, but that's a big challenge because I am obsessed with food. So, consequently, I am still having to shop at the big man's store. And the one that was closest to my house is closed down. And I guess there was another one closer, but I didn't realize it. And I went out to this one in a place called Commerce. Think about that, folks. We have a town called Commerce. You know? People live in Commerce? Hi, I live in a city of industry. Well, there is a city of industry, too. But Commerce has this mall, outdoor mall, that's all outlets, where it's all cheaper deals for what they have. And so I went to this place, this big man shop out there. I went on a Sunday, and I was warned by this girl who worked there that Sunday is a bad day to go because of the parking situation. And I was like, how bad could it be? Well, folks, this is like my biggest nightmare. I don't like shopping anyway, but to have to go to a place where it's as if you were attending a concert or something like that, that the traffic, and I mean a concert of somebody really super popular, where, you know, they got, you know, parking people who are, you know, waving you on to different places. Don't go over here. Cone set up. Don't go here. No, go there. And I was like, oh, my God. I'd come too far to turn around. And so I lucked out and got a spot. And I went and got what I wanted to get. But the point I'm trying to make is, it just amazed me. It was just like the epitome of consumer culture. The epitome of consumer culture. It's just all these people walking around with bags and buying things and lining up and getting giant ice cream cones, which I didn't get, which I really wanted to get, believe me. And, you know, sodas and hot dogs and go over here and get that and buy, 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 consume, consume. Oh, my God. I couldn't wait to get out of there. I could not wait. And you know what? I didn't wait. I left. So that's that. One of the things I've been doing, for my stand-up, like I said, I've been having to sit down with to write material. I'm working on that stuff. I'm trying to make myself sit down and do that. Go over notes I've taken, and I've taken copious notes that go back years, and up to the present, from present to years. Okay, so the weird thing is, I'm not very organized. That's one of my things about myself. I'm not an organized person, and so sometimes I would mix, other things in with my comedy writings. And what did I mix in? I found like some, when they tell you to write your goals down, and I found some old goals that I wrote, and I found some old goals that I was supposed to reach by 2008. And to say that I was a little bit depressed, they say write your goals down to try to make them come true, and I go, oh my God, look at this, I wrote this down, and it didn't remotely come true. However, writing them down, you don't just write them down and then go out and freaking eat hot dogs, which is essentially, that was the period when I started to have issues with my hips and blah, 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 blah. So you got to break your goals down to smaller goals and, work at it that way. But it was just kind of an eye-opener for me to see, wow, I didn't get to where I wanted to go. But, but it didn't discourage me because I am on my way, folks. I'm on my way. By the way, I'm doing my first gig. I went to my third open mic was at a comedy club called Flappers, and I didn't realize it. My friend of mine said, "Hey, meet me there to do the open mic," but I didn't realize I was auditioning, and I auditioned, and so now I'm kind of working there sometimes, not a lot yet. I just got in, so I got a gig this week coming up there, unpaid gig, but still a gig, and I'm not really promoting it. I'm gonna invite like two friends. So that was cool. A beautiful club, beautiful, beautiful club, beautiful. They have a couple of beautiful rooms, a bar. They do a lot of open mics there. I've done a couple of open mics there as well. Just straight up open mics. And in my quest to find open mics, I've gone to different ones. I played a Vietnamese restaurant that had, they had no customers. They had 8 middle-aged male comedians waiting to go on, and then a family of 4 with 2 little babies came in, and that was the crowd. Can't really gauge your stuff by that. And then I've been going to a lot of different places. I was calling a lot around to see different places. There is one open mic that they do it in a theater, and the girl that runs it was like, yeah, come on down, you gotta pay. See, these days also, you gotta pay money a lot of times to be in these open mics, because they have no audience. Back in the day, we would have somewhat of an audience, so we weren't forced to buy things, I didn't have any money back then. Now I got some money. I don't mind supporting these businesses. Otherwise, they wouldn't be open, they're not asking for a lot. And so this girl was saying, for $5, you got to spend like $5 and you get coffee, water, and you get 5 minutes. And I was like, okay, fine. And she goes, and we provide feedback. I go, no thanks. I don't need a bunch of amateur people who think they're comedians giving me feedback. You know what? Stand-up comedy is one of the truest feedback art forms. You get up in front of an audience, and if they laugh, there's your feedback. If they don't laugh, there's your feedback. So I passed on that. Then there's a hotel where they give you 5 minutes and you have to buy one drink. I haven't been to it yet. And hotel lounge. And I think I was going to ask. Oh, I think I might have said this. I said, hey, if I rent a room, can I headline? I like it. See? That's comedy, folks. That's comedy. Anyway, so that's what's going on with that. Let's see, a couple more things here. The horoscopes that you read in the paper or online, whatever. I never read them seriously. And the other day, this was like maybe a couple weeks ago, right in the midst of my doing really well with my food, it said, for me, Capricorn, good day to eat some ice cream. And I was like, you know what? You know where you can go, Mr. Horoscope, or Miss Horoscope, telling me to eat ice cream. Let me see what else I got going on here. Oh, I was talking to this lady. She's from India. She works at one of the supermarkets I go to. And she's a Muslim. And she does not eat pork. Just like, you know, my Jewish people are not supposed to eat pork. And so, somehow we were getting on the subject of Jesus came up. And she said, oh, well, the Muslims, she said, we respect Jesus very much. And they go, oh, okay, that's nice. And then, so I said, but then, what about the Buddhists? I mean, what about Buddhists? She goes, no, no. So Jesus, yes, Buddha, no. Jesus, one, Buddha, zero. You know, I'm going backwards here, but, you know, the 4th of July, did I talk about this? I hope I didn't talk about it last time, but if I did, hey, so what? I went to this barbecue, and there was a retired nurse there, and she was kind of a feisty older woman, and she was kind of messing with me, you know, whatever. And then she started talking about how she uses medical marijuana, and I told her, hey, you know, marijuana for me was a gateway drug. And she got vehemently, if that's the right word, she denied that marijuana is a gateway. It is not a gateway drug. Well, it was for me. I'm not saying it is for you. I mean, I wish I could use marijuana. I loved it. I still love the smell of it. Still love the smell. If I smell marijuana, I go, oh, man, it smells so good. But I can't smoke it. I can't eat. And now there's more marijuana. There's marijuana stores. This is the kind of thing I would fantasize about, going into a marijuana dispensary. Anyway, enough's enough. Enough. All right, hey, listen, I knocked out a podcast here. It wasn't so bad. It wasn't so trying to do this. Thank you for listening. Again, I apologize if you've been looking for another episode and it hasn't been up. I do intend, I don't know, at some point I will get on more of a schedule. Just I'm going through some personal things now, too, that I'm not going to get into. Stuff like that. So, anyway, thanks. I really appreciate anybody and everybody who listens to my podcast. And until next time, this is Al Berman live from the studio apartment.